When the fat couple turned to look, Mia saw their cheeks wrinkle upward like clingy cloth, and for a moment, beneath the soft angle of their jaws, she saw something dark red and tufted with hair. "Susanna, was that skin?" Mia asked. "Dear God, was it their skin?" Susanna made no reply. Not even, "I told you so," or "Didn't I warn you?" Things had gone past that now. It was too late for exasperation or any of the milder emotions. And Susanna felt genuinely sorry for the woman who had brought her here. Yes, Mia had lied and betrayed. Yes, she had tried her best to get Eddie and Roland killed. But what choice had she ever had? Susanna realized, with dawning bitterness, that she could now give the perfect definition of a Kamai. One who has been given hope, but no choices. Like giving a motorcycle to a blind man, she thought. Richard Sayre, slim, middle-aged, handsome in a full-lipped, broad-browed way, began to applaud. The rings on his fingers flashed. His yellow blazer blared in the dim light. "Heil Mia," he cried. "Heil Mia," the others responded. "Heil Mother." "Heil Mother," the vampires and low men and low women cried, and they too began to applaud. The sound was certainly enthusiastic enough, but the acoustics of the room dulled it and turned it into the rustle of bat wings, a hungry sound, one that made Susanna feel sick to her stomach. At the same time, a fresh contraction gripped her and turned her legs to water. She reeled forward, yet almost welcomed the pain, which partially muffled her trepidation. Sayre stepped forward and seized her by the upper arms, steadying her before she could fall. She had thought his touch would be cold, but his fingers were as hot as those of a cholera victim. Farther back, she saw a tall figure come out of the shadows, something that was neither low man nor vampire. It wore jeans and a plain white shirt, but emerging from the shirt's collar was the head of a bird. It was covered with sleek feathers of dark yellow. Its eyes were black. It patted its hands together in polite applause, and she saw, with ever-growing dismay, that those hands were equipped with talons rather than fingers. Half a dozen bugs scampered from beneath one of the tables and looked at her with eyes that hung on stalks, horribly intelligent eyes. Their mandibles clicked in a sound that was like laughter. "Heil Mia," she heard in her head. An insectal buzzing. "Heil Mother." And then they were gone, back into the shadows. Mia turned to the door and saw the pair of low men who blocked it. And yes, those were masks. This close to the door guards, it was impossible not to see how their sleek black hair had been painted on. Mia turned back to Sayre with a sinking heart. Too late now. Too late to do anything but go through with it. 17. Sayre's grip had slipped when she turned. Now he reestablished it by taking her left hand. At the same moment, her right hand was seized. She turned that way and saw the fat woman in the silver lamé dress. Her huge bust overflowed the top of her gown, which struggled gamely to hold it back. The flesh of her upper arms quivered loosely, giving off a suffocating scent of talcum powder. On her forehead was a red wound that swam, but never overflowed. "It's how they breathe," Mia thought. "That's how they breathe when they're wearing their..." In her growing dismay, she had largely forgotten about Susanna Dean and completely about Detta. So when Detta Walker came forward, hell, when she leaped forward, there was no way Mia could stop her. She watched her arms shoot out seemingly of their own accord and saw her fingers sink into the plump cheek of the woman in the silver lamé gown. The woman shrieked, but oddly, the others, Sayre included, laughed uproariously as if this were the funniest thing they'd ever seen in their lives. The mask of humanity pulled away from the low woman's startled eye, then tore.